Vitamin A, with this we did already. Let's say about the... Last week I mentioned about the Rabbeinu Hananel, who writes that it's permissible to do hakhana from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos. The Rasha Lechik didn't see how that could possibly be the case. And that in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kolchas, he quotes Zacharim also say that it's a difficult Rabbeinu Hananel. So I mentioned that Gemara increases, that the Gemara discusses a possibility that if a person does a Chatzi Shir of a Malach on Shabbos Parshas Yisro, and he finishes with another Chatzi Shir of the same Malach on Parshas Mishpatim, the Gemara discusses the possibility that it's been Starf Yachan. So you see that all the Shabbos are all a Hemshech of each other. That's why I didn't see why it was so strange what the Rabbeinu Hananel said. There is a Gemara just in connection with that, the Gemara increases. There is, we discussed this also last week. Min HaTorah, there's no such thing as an Erev Tavshin. So Min HaTorah, you're permitted to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. And Midir Rabbanan, you need an Erev Tavshin. So why is it permissible to cook? The Gemara asks in Sochim and Daf Mem Zay, why is it permissible to cook Min HaTorah on Yom Tov for Shabbos? You only have a Heter Echal Nefesh. Echal Nefesh means to be cooking the food on Yom Tov for Yom Tov, not you cooking the food on Yom Tov for tomorrow. So it should be awesome in HaTorah to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So how does an Erev Tavshin, which is only the Rabban, how does that solve the problem? So the Gemara has a Machlokes Rabbah v'Rav Yosef. What's the answer? So the Gemara says one opinion is Rabbah says Torah Shabbos, Rabbah says Hoyo. Since theoretically all the food that you cook on Yom Tov could have been eaten up by Jews on Yom Tov, you're not permitted to cook on Yom Tov for Anochim, Lachem v'Lol Yakum. So you're not allowed to cook for Nochrim, but you're permitted to cook for Yisrael, for Yehudim. Yisrael today means Israelis. Yehudim. Okay. So the Gemara says that Rabbah holds that the Heter Echal Nefesh doesn't need Kavanas Agabi. He doesn't have to have in mind I'm cooking in order to I'm cooking on Yom Tov and have in mind that it's going to be eaten today by Yisrael. If he cooks on Yom Tov, and theoretically the food could be, all the food that he cooked could be eaten up today on Yom Tov, that's automatically labeled as Malachas Echal Nefesh. That's what Rabbi says. So even though he's cooking on Yom Tov tomorrow for Shabbos, Yom Tov is Chol is Be'er Shabbos, his intention, the Kavanas HaGabra clearly is not to eat it today, but since theoretically there was a possibility that it could have been eaten today, so Rabbi says that it's smooth. And most of the Rishonim hold like Rabbi. And some Rishonim Paskin like the other Rabbi in the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef. Is it Rabbi Yosef? Some Rishonim Paskin like Rabbi Chizda, the other opinion in the Gemara. So Rabbi Chizda says, he doesn't say, Hoyol b'mikol lechem chozilei, hashtana mechozilei. It doesn't say, since if guests would come today, they would eat everything up. He says, no. Echal nefesh requires kavanas hagarbi. You have to have in mind at the time that you want to eat it today on Yom Tov. But if he cooks today and he wants to eat it tomorrow, where is the heter? So he holds that tzoche Shabbos nasa mi Yom Tov, since you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for today, and tomorrow is Shabbos, so included in the heter to cook for today is that you're allowed to cook for tomorrow. So why is that so? Why does he hold tzoche Shabbos nasa mi Yom Tov? What kind of a din is that? So Rashi on that Gemara comments, because Rav Chizda thinks, like the Tana in Erevin, there's a Machlokes HaTanaim in the Mishnah in Erevin, when you have Shabbos and Yom Tov next to each other, is it one long Kedushas HaYom that stretches for 48 hours? But they say, no, there's a Kedushas HaYom for 24 hours, and a separate Kedushas HaYom on the second day for 24 hours. What's the difference? Stam philosophy. Is it a Kedusha Achas, a Yom HaRichto? It's one long Kedushas HaYom for 48 hours, or is it a separate Kedushas HaYom? So the difference the Gemara gives is for Erev Eitzchumen. You're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum unless you make an Erev Eitzchumen. So the Erev Eitzchumen, the food that you put aside for the Erev Eitzchumen, has to be kayam, has to be in existence on Erev Shabbos b'tchilas hayom, b'tchilas knesis hayom, bein hashmashos, has to be there. If it was there in the beginning of Shabbos and it's eaten up in the middle of Shabbos, so the Erev Eitzchumen is it. So the question is, if you have 2 days in a row, Shabbos next to Yom Tov, Yom Tov next to Shabbos, whatever arrangement, and you made an Erev Eitzchumen on Erev of the first day for both days, and it's eaten up, the Erev Eitzchumen is eaten up on the first day. So is that, can you still rely on that Erev Eitzchumen for the second day? Or they say no, this is the two different Kedushas. The first day is a Kedushas Hayam that goes for 24 hours, and the second day is a Kedushas Hayam that goes for 24 hours. It's not one long Kedushas Hayam that goes for 48 hours. So you require that the Erev Eitzchumen should be present the Bein Hashmashes of the first day and the Bein Hashmashes of the second day. Or the Tanoim have a machlokes. Can you make us? I want to have a different Erebus Chumen. On the first day, I want to go to the east, and the second day, I want to go to the west. The first day is Yontif, the second day is Shabbos. The first day is Shabbos, the second day is Yontif, whatever. So one day there's a chazan going to be davening in that community. Next day there's going to be a rabbi holding a drasha in that community. So I want to go the first day to that community, second day to that community. So can I make a separate Erebet Chumet for the first day and a separate Erebet Chumet for the second day? So that's the machlokes satanayim. If it's kedusha achas, if it's one kedusha that extends for 48 hours, then you can't split it in half. I can't make an Erebet Chumet on Friday night to go in one direction if a Shabbos morning to go in a different direction. The whole Shabbos has to have the same makom. Al yaitzi ish mem kom. You have to have the same tchum, the whole Shabbos. So after 2 days in a row, Shabbos yont basmuchim zelazeh constitutes kedusha achas, then you can't split. You can't make an erev tchumen for one day and a separate erev tchumen for the second day. So that's the machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah. Then the Gemara says, halacha lemaaseh, bottom line, what's the psak? The Gemara says in the first perek in Beit, the psak is and the shtei kedushas. Shabbos yont basmuchim zelazeh constitutes shtei kedushas. Then the Gemara has the machlokes by shnei amin tevim shal golias, machlokes amaroyim, but the kedusha of shtei kedushas, we also pass from shtei kedushas, not kedusha. The only thing we pass from kedusha achas is the 2 days Rosh Hashanah. That's the Gemara in the first perek in Beit. So the Ramban comments in the Malchamas on Psochem on Adaf on Mem Zayin that Rashi explains the reason for Rav Chisda that Tzoche Shabbos Ansem Yontif, because Shabbos Yontif are kedusha achas. So that's based on the opinion of the Tana in Erevin and the Mishnah in Erevin on Daf Mem, but that's not the accepted opinion. So the way Rashi interprets the Gemara, it's a dead giveaway that Psak Halacha is not going to be like Rav Chisda. It's going to have to be like Rabba. The reason for the Hefter Min HaTorah, the cook on Yontif and Shabbos, is not going to be because Tzoche Shabbos not to be Yontif, because that's based on Kedusha Achas, and we don't accept that opinion. So we are forced into accepting the opinion of Rabba. That's what the Ramban points out. If you learn the Gemara like Rashi, then you have to pass like Rabba. It's not a toss-up how you're going to pass. You have to pass like Rabba. But Gan Avram writes it some achlik. So we show him, we should go to Chumre, whether the din is like Rabba, like Rav Chisda. There's some slight nafkeminus lidina, what the heter Erev Tavshilin is based on. So the Minchas Chinuch has a kasha Rashi. How can Rashi write that the heter to Tzorche Shabbos not on Yontif, according to Rav Chisda, you're permitted to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, when Yontif falls out on Erev Shabbos? That's based on Kedusha Achas. So yes, the Kasha, the Gemara there in Psochim discusses a Mishnah. The Mishnah has the following discussion. It's a Mishnah Menachos about Shtei Alechem. There's a Perek in Menachos. It's entitled Perek Shtei Alechem. Shtei Alechem was a carbon, special carbon that was only brought on Shavuos. But in the middle of Perek Shtei Alechem, we also talk about the laws of Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim is put on the Shulchan every Shabbos. They would bake Lechem Aponim on Friday, 12 Lechem Aponim, and 2 piles of 6 each, Shtei Maroches, 6 Lechem Aponim in each Maroches, with the shelves to hold it up, that they shouldn't be leaning on each other, shouldn't ruin each other. So the Mishnah says in Menachos, they used to bake the Lechem Aponim on Friday, put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos, leave it there a whole week, they would take it off next Shabbos and eat it, and then they would bake, next Friday they would bake the new Lechem Aponim, and they would switch, every Shabbos they would switch the Lechem Aponim. So the Mishnah says that Afias Lechem Aponim, it's in Perek Shtei Alechem, and Shtei Alechem is only on Shavuos, but in that Perek, the Mishnah discusses all the details of the dinim of Lechem Aponim. So it says that you always bake it on Friday, you're not allowed to bake it on Shabbos, because it's a Chilul Shabbos, you're not allowed to do a Melacha on Shabbos. What happens if Friday is Yontif? What happens if Yontif falls on a Friday? Then you have to bake Lechem Aponim on Thursday. What if you have 2 days Yontif in the Beis Hamikdash? You don't have Yontif Shenish or Golias, Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, but once in a while you can have 2 days Rosh Hashanah in the Beis Hamikdash. So if you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah falling out on Thursday and Friday, so then you can't bake the Lechem Aponim not on Thursday, not on Friday. So you've got to bake the Lechem Aponim on Wednesday. Fine. So that's what the Mishnah says, that the Lechem Aponim is always going to be 8 days old, because you always bake it on Friday, you eat it next Shabbos. Sometimes it's going to be 9 days old, sometimes it's going to be 10 days old. Sometimes it's baked on Friday, sometimes Thursday, and once a year, once in a year, it's baked on Wednesday, when it's 2 days Rosh Hashanah. It's Thursday and Friday, so you bake the Lechem Aponim on Wednesday, and you put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos, and it sits there for a week, and then you eat it when it's already 10 days old. Fine. So the Gemara asks Akasha, if you hold like Rav Chisda, that Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim V'Yontif, you're permitted to bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So why does the Mishnah say you're not allowed to bake the lechem upon him on Rosh Hashanah? On Yontif falls out on Friday. Yontif falls out on Thursday and Friday. You're not allowed to bake the lechem upon him. Break the Gemara. Why not? If Tzorchei Shabbos nasim b'yontif, so what's wrong with Hetzer Gomer? You should be allowed to bake the lechem upon him on Friday, which is Yontif, intending to eat it next Shabbos. They're not going to eat it this Shabbos. This Shabbos they're going to put it on the Shulchan. They're going to eat it next Shabbos. That's the Gemara's kash. So the Gemara says, no, that's it. There is a kasu lechem v'lo l'gavoa. That the pasuk says, hu levado achash yasa l'chol nefesh, hu levado liyasa lechem. So the word, just like the word lechem is memayit lechem v'lo liyakum, you're not permitted to do m'loch on Yontif. Now that a cook can bake for the nochem to eat, so too we say lochem v'lola gavoya. Agzeres hakosav that you're not allowed to. If not for that agzeres hakosav, we would have said that it should have been covered with the din of tzorchei Shabbos nantam yon. So the Minchas Chinuch asks Akasha if the pshat in the Gemara is the way Rashi and the Ramban write. The tzorchei Shabbos, Rav Chizda's opinion is tzorchei Shabbos nantam yontif. You're permitted to cook on yontif for Shabbos because kedusha achas, because they constitute one kedusha. It's one Kedusha Sayyam that extends for 48 hours. It's not that there's a Kedusha Sayyam for 24 hours and a Kedusha Shabbos for 24 hours. It's one long Kedusha Sayyam for 48 hours. So what does that have to do with baking Lachem Aponim on Friday, which is Yontif, and eating it next Shabbos? What does it have to do with next Shabbos? That's this Shabbos. If you would bake on Friday, Al Das to eat it on Friday, is Echal Nefesh, Al Das to eat it on Shabbos, is also Echal Nefesh for today. Because today and tomorrow is Kedusha Achas. But today and tomorrow and next Shabbos is also Kedusha Achas. How could that be? So that's what the Minchas Chinuch asks Akasha and Rashi and the Ramban. How do they read the Gemara? The Gemara talks about the possibility of Tzorchei Shabbos on Tam Yontif to bake this Friday, Al Das to eat it next Shabbos.
Is there a mitzvah to put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos?
Sure there is.
That's the mitzvah. Why can't you do it for that mitzvah?
I mean for the mitzvah. For the mitzvah, not so much for the eating.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I think it could be. There's no olive here. Is this an olive? There's not an olive. We gotta take a look. I don't know. You have a Gemara. It has a psochem. Okay. That's an interesting Gemara. Rashi writes, Tzorchei Shabbos Hushem Misalkim V'Ochel Moseh B'Shabbos. Maybe you could pull through in the Gemara. That could be the Pshat Gemara, but Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns, it should be Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim Yen, because you plan to eat it next Shabbos. That's how Rashi says, Shem Misalkim Moseh V'Ochel Moseh B'Shabbos. So you say, in the Gemara per se, you could pull through. You can say that it means, why shouldn't you be allowed to bake it on Yontif in order to put it on the Shulchan tomorrow? But Rashi says, in order to eat it next week. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch asks on the Rashi. How can Rashi say stuff like that? So I thought the following. There is a Mishnah Berurah. It's an interesting, the Mishnah Berurah is in the Sharatzim. It's not in the text in the Mishnah Berurah. Because he says this is a theoretical Shaila on the level of the rice, it never comes up halacha l'maase. He discusses, is it permissible to cook food on the first day Pesach, adaita to eat it on the seventh day Pesach? Are you allowed to cook food on the first day to eat it on the seventh day? He says, Midrabbana for sure you're not allowed to. Because whatever would have tasted just as good, so the din is there's no heterach and nevish to cook it on yonder, you got to cook it on erev yonder. So here you have a whole 5 days chalamoid in between. So why should you cook it on the first day? That's in Eretz Yisrael. Why should you cook it on the first day? Yonder v'adai to eat it on the seventh day on Shvi Shal Pesach. Wait till chalamoid and it'll be heter. It'll be heter gomer to cook it on chalamoid. So he says, on the level of the Rabbanon, the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Sharatim, he understands that it's not permissible. He raises the question, is it permissible on the level of the Rashi? He says, he thinks so. That's L'chol HaDayis, that's Yontif. The first day Yontif with the 7 day Pesach is the same. But there are 5 days blank in between. How is that a Hemshech? So he said, that doesn't bother him. No, the 7th day of Pesach is the Hemshech of the 1st day of Pesach. Kedusha Achas, you can't say Kedusha Achas. You can certainly make a separate Erev Etchumim for the 1st day and separate Erev Etchumim for the 2nd day. That's for sure permissible. let's say you can certainly make an Erev Tchumen in one direction for Shabbos Parshas Yisro, and a separate Erev Tchumen for Shabbos Parshas Mishpatim. That was going to say that all the Shabbatim are Hemshech of each other to the extent of saying that they have to have the same Tchum Shabbos for all the Shabbatim of the year. V'yoylam v'ed. V'yoylam v'ed. All the Shabbatim in my life are all the same. Adnei v'yesem shana. And once I decide what my Tchum is for one Shabbos, I'm stuck for the rest of my life. No. Even if you say, like we quoted a Gemara increases, and like the Rabbi Mechanan, the role of Shabbat and our Hemshech of each other, it's not a Hemshech. You can't say that it's Kedush Achaz when it gets to this halacha that you can't have a separate Erev Tchumen. Of course you can have a separate Erev Tchumen. So you're also the first day Pesach and the seventh day Pesach, the Mishnah Berurah knows you can have a separate Erev Tchumen. That's a Dovah Poshet. But he raises the possibility and he holds that that's the halacha. He writes that he thinks that it's a Dovah Poshet on the level of the Raisa. It's permissible to cook on the first day Pesach for the seventh day Pesach, because in a certain sense it's Kedusha Achas, it's a Hemshech. So if you say like that, then the Kasha, the Minchas Chinuch Yes on the Rashi can be answered. It could be that Tzorchei Shabbos Nasa Miyontif, according to Rav Chisda, is because Rashi learned. Rashi and Rambam and Chacham Shlomo, because it's Kedusha Achas, it maybe it doesn't have to be Kedusha Achas in the sense like the Mishnah talks, Kedusha Achas, and Erev and Daf Mem. Kedusha Achas, you can't make a separate Erev et Chumen. If the Erev Tchumen was made on the first day and it's eaten up in the middle of the first day, it's still good for the second day. Mamash, 100% Kedusha Achas. No. Maybe it's sufficient if it's Kedusha Achas, a Hemshech of each other. So maybe you can say like this. If you hold that all the Shabbosim are connected, are all a Hemshech of each other, like the Gemara increases, and Yontav HaSamach LeShabbos constitutes a Kedusha Achas. If you hold Shabbos V'Yontav HaSmuchim Zavosash, they Kedushas. So the Shabbos has nothing to do, Yom Tov has nothing to do with tomorrow. Today's Yom Tov has nothing to do with tomorrow. The Mamre is separate. So today's Yom Tov has nothing to do with next Shabbos either. But if you hold that today is Friday, today's Yom Tov is connected with tomorrow, that is Kedusha Achas, and tomorrow Shabbos Parshas Yisro is connected with Parshas Mishpatim, loosely connected. Not the same 100% connected Kedusha Achas, like it is Shabbos of Yom Tov, Asmuchim Zavazel, you can't make a separate Erev Et Chumen. So then the Rashi is Miyusha. Then we can understand the Rashi. So that's why I didn't. That's why I wasn't so excited about this, Rabbi. I'm sorry. I didn't think it was so big. I don't know. But Rav Soloveitchik instinctively said it can't be. Actually, there is no such Rabbi Hanan. Then when they showed it to him, so he said, "You can't believe it. It can't be." And that's what the Shmir Shabbos Kochos also says. He quotes Achran and they say they can't. They can't accept that Rabbi Hanan. I don't know why. Okay. So we got the last week. We got the Kuf Yud Gimel on the base into the wide line. So we learned the first wide line. Boimenei Rebbe Merebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yosef. He has to shout Malus Psiyagasa B'Shabbos. Is it forbidden to go Psiyagasa? Why? Because the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Me'asos Dirachecha. V'chibarato Me'asos Dirachecha Derech. Has the connotation of walking on a highway, walking on a road. So the rachecho implies shalayeh hiluchel shal Shabbos ki hiluchel shalchol. In what way should it not be ki hiluchel shalchol? So the Gemara says you shouldn't go psiyagas. So the Gemara says that's a Rebbe Yis, Rebbe Yishmal, Rebbe Yosi. Can you say that that's included in the pasuk? So the truth of the matter, he says, yeah, that's included. But he says, what do you mean? It's also all week long. It's unhealthy. It's unhealthy to go psiyagas. So he didn't really answer the question. He says, "Ben kol kotzos, like the shayla, are you allowed to smoke on Yom Tov?" So the answer is, you're not allowed to smoke all week long. But on the assumption that people do smoke all week long, that's a different aver. That's an aver v'neshmartem yodah nafshe sechem. What about smoking on Yom Tov? Is another aver that it's hulabad v'yotah lechem has to be dovah shavah l'chol nefesh, and smoking is not a dovah shavah l'chol nefesh. So smoking on Yom Tov is an additional issue. That's what he meant over here. Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi. Is there a nisir in going to steal gas? There's nothing to discuss. All week long it's also because it's unhealthy. But on Shabbos it's a double issue. First of all, v'nishmart miyodah nafshe sechem, it's unhealthy. And secondly, it's an issue of me'asos derachecha. Shilai hei yiluchuch shal Shabbos ki yiluchuch shochol. He said that it's unhealthy. Okay. Then the Gemara tells a few lines later, such a similar story. Boy minei rabbi mirabbi shmab rabbi yosi, mal lecha la doma b'shabbos. There was some kind of sand that they used to eat. They used to eat sand. So is it permissible to eat it on Shabbos? Why? It's not the covered Shabbos. It's not the covered day. It's a bizoyan of Shabbos. He says, well, you're not allowed to eat it in the weekday either because it's a malka, because it's unhealthy. Isn't the same answer as before. That's like smoking all year long is also. So what am I going to discuss smoking on Yom Tov? But on Yom Tov it's an additional issue. In addition to being an Isra of an Ishmartim Yodan Nafshasech, it's an additional Isra of Bizoy and Shabbos over here. So he says, Chibichol Mihutra, Shania Maf, Bicholos, Mente Shuhu Malka. It's unhealthy to eat Adoma. Why is it unhealthy? So the Gemara tells a story that once upon a time, that's a little humorous, someone ate some of this Adoma, and then he swallowed a fruit with the pit, and then the pit landed in the Adoma in his belly, and then it started to grow. And then a tree grew, and it choked him to death, whatever. It made a hole in his heart, and he died. Okay. So that's why it's unhealthy all week long to eat Adoma. So it's not recommended to eat Adoma all the time. Because it may swallow a pit afterwards, and then a tree will grow in your stomach, and you'll get killed. Okay. That's what the Gemara tells the story. Then the Gemara goes off on a tangent. Omer Abba Mikol Oichal Mi Afora Shal Bovil Kilu Oichal Mi Bisar Avoisov. There were people who used to eat Adoma. They used to eat sand for some reason. So he says, if you eat sand in Bovil, Kol Oichal Mi Afora Shal Bovil Kilu Oichal Mi Bisar Avoisov. Who is Avoisov? Rashi writes, Shemesu Shom Bagolo. So from Rashi it appears that he's translating Avoisov, Jewish ancestors. Jewish ancestors. There are so many Jews who died and are buried in Bavel, and their bodies disintegrated. So if you're going to eat offer from Bavel, there's a good chance that you're eating Mibsar Avoisov of your forefathers of Jewish people. Now why is that wrong? What's wrong with that? So that means that a mace is also Bahano. The din is that a mace is also bano. We learned it, no? It says, Vatama shamayim at kava sham. The Gemara learns, Exeva shava sham shami egla rufa. It says, Vyorfu sham is a egla banachal. So just like over there, by egla rufa, it's also bano, so too by the mace, it's also bano. Hey, no, egla rufa is also bano. Vazim gufim in ola, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, we know that egla rufa is also bano because it says, Vyorfu sham. No, because it says when they bring an egla rufa, so the Kohanim have to say kaple amche sol shepadisa Hashem kaporek sivba kikotchi. Since he asked for kaporek for atonement, so it has the same din like korbanos. So just like korbanos are asabano, so to the egla rufa is asabano. The egla rufa itself is not a korban; it's not hegdish at all. It's not a korban, but because kaporek sivba kikotchi, so that's why just like kotchim are asabano, so to the egla rufa is asabano. The Mishlah Melech quotes Rash. On Mishnayis, that Egla Rufa has pidyon. The Isra of Egla Rufa can be removed out of the pidyon. So the Chazon Ish says he doesn't understand how that makes any sense. Such a Tosefta. So he says he doesn't understand how can it be? How can a pidyon? It's not Hegdash. If you have Basel B'cholov, you can undo the Isra Hanoa by pidyon. Anything that's awesome Hanoa doesn't have pidyon. If you have Hegdash, Hegdash has pidyon. Egla Rufa is not Hegdash at all. It's not a carbon. Kaporek sibo kikotchim means that it's also bana, but it does mean that the egla rufa itself is a carbon. So again, so the original source for the Isa Hanoa of a mace is Batama Shamiriam. So Miriam was Jewish. So that's why we assume the Ikar Adin that Mesei Akama Muta Bano. That's how Tosis writes in Bava Kama in the first parish. And that's how all the Rishonim, there's a Yerushalmi like that, many Gemaras in Bava, Mesei Akama Muta Bano. The Shulchan Aruch says that we're Machmir, not to get Hanoa from Mesei Akum. So the later Pesukim say that that's only a chumer midirabbanan, that it doesn't even appear in the Gemara anywhere. That's that the Shulchan Aruch quoted it, a chumer from the Rishonim. Not to get anor from Meisei Yakama. Mikradin, Meisei Yakama muta b'ano. So when the Gemara says, and that's why today, when the students go to medical school, so they do study anatomy by dealing with a dead body. So we assume that Meisei Yakama not really awesome anor minator, it's only a chumer midirabbanan. So the Mokam Ashtikal Mitzvah to study medicine in order to heal people in the future. So the Mokam Mitzvah will make them. So the whole thing is a Chumra from the Rishon. Yeah. So according to the simple Pshat in the Gemara, the way Rashi seems to learn, Ki Loichol Mibisar Avoisav, which Avoisav? Our forefathers, which forefathers? So Rashi says, the Jewish forefathers who died there and were buried there in Golos. Shemes Shamba Golos. He's talking about the Jewish people. Went into Golos Bavel, they died and they're buried there. So they're Rosh Abano. Mesa Yisrael are Rosh Abano. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to eat Adoma in Bavel because you're getting Hanoa from the Mesa. That's what the Gemara is going to... What do you mean a Genai?
Like, it's not nice to eat place where the parents were buried, even though they're not there anymore.
That's what the Gemara is going to say, that it should be mutter. But first, the Pashat Pshat, that's how the Netziv points out on this Dan. He says, by Rashi learns the Pshat based on Rashi's Girsa. Says the two Girsas in the Gemara, which Memra comes first, which Memra comes second. So according to the way Rashi has, that this Memra comes first, means our forefathers, the Jews who died in Bavel, and let's see right there. Yesh Omrim and others say a different reason why it's not allowed. So what do you mean kilo echol shkotzim uramasim? That at the time of the Mabul, everything in the world was destroyed, and all of the animals died. So when everything landed in Babel, after the Mabul was over, Babel is lower than the other places. Everything landed in Babel. Omer ishlok ishlam nikrish moshin ishkal meisim Mabul ninaru lishamam. Nalam nikrish mitzula. So these two memories come after the Yesh Omrim. After the Yesh Omrim. There are other Girsas in the Gemara that these two memories, Lamadikrishma and Shinova Lamadikrishma Bavel, precede Rabbi Yechanan, precede the first Mandama. So that's why others seem to learn Pshat, Kilo Echel Mibsar Ravaisov, who's the first one is Rabbami. If you first have the memories that all the dead bodies landed in Bavel, and then you say, you're not allowed to eat afara shal balaki lechem b'sar avaisav, so one can interpret differently. As if he's eating not from the b'sar avaisav of the Jews who were buried there in Bavel, but rather from our forefathers in the days of the Mabul. All of the dead bodies, the Meisei Akum. So the Shaita said, what's wrong with that? If you assume Meisei Akum amutabano, Mikra Adin Meisei Akum amutabano, the Chumra not to get on off from Meisei Akum, developed in later generations. The Zmana Gemara still assumed that it was Mutta. The Gemara talks about Meisei Akum being Mutta Bano. Unless you say like the Rambam, there is a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether Bisar Adam, is it permissible to practice cannibalism? Is there a prohibition against eating Bisar Adam? In order to determine that any given animal is kosher, behemoth, b'chai, you have to have malager, mafis, parsa. In order to determine that any fish is kosher, so the Pasuk says you got to have in order to determine which birds are kosher, so the Mishnah and the Gemara Chum tells you Simon. How do I identify? What about a human being? He doesn't fit into Nishkin fish, Nishkin Behema Vachaya. He doesn't fit into any of these. So the Ramban says Mutter. You're not allowed to kill someone in order to eat him. That's Lasirtach. You're not allowed to eat a dead body because it's Asabano. Jewish Mesa Yisola Rasabano. Mesa Yakum Amutabano. So that's the deal. Is there an Isra Achila Mesa Yakum? So the Ramban writes, he doesn't think so. He doesn't think there's an Isra Achila, and he disagrees with the Rambam. He knows that the Rambam says it's an Isra. The Rambam writes that he thinks that it's an Isra Esei. Because there's those Habeim HaShet HaChelu, so the implication is only with these rules and regulations. If it's a Beim, it has to have Malager Mafis Pars. If it's a Dag, it has to have this. If it's an Ofer, it has to have that. And if it doesn't fit into any of these, so that's an Isra Esei. That's what the Rambam holds. And the Ramban argues with the Rambam. Because the Gemara says that to drink milk from a woman's body is mutter min haTorah. Sometimes it's also mit der Rabbana, but it's mutter min haTorah. The Ramban asks, if the Sar Adam is an Iser Esei, so just like you're not allowed to eat a behemoth tamea, a pig, so you're not allowed to drink the milk that comes from a pig, or you're not allowed to eat a behemoth trefa, let's say you have a cow, that's a kosher animal, but it's a trefa. So you're not allowed to eat a treifa, so you're not allowed to drink the milk that comes from a treifa either. That's learned out from the Pasuk. Basayana. The Pasuk says Basayana. So the Gemara says in Chulman that Basayana refers to the Beitas of Tomi, the egg that the treifa bird lays an egg. The ostrich lays an egg, it's awesome. So just like Beitas of Tomi is awesome in Atara, that's the Pasuk Basayana. So too Cholav Behemoth Meo, Cholav Treifa. Is also Hayotzim in Asur is also. That's a Mishnah in Chorus in the first parak. Hayotzim in Atam in Atam is Tami. Anything that's developed inside a non-kosher animal, you're not allowed to eat. So the same thing should apply to milk that's developed inside the Gufa Adam. If the Rambam is right, the Psar Adam has an Iser Esei, so you shouldn't be allowed to drink the Cholaf Aisha. So the Ramban times from the fact that the Gemara says it's Mutam and Atar, they just once in a while instituted an Iser de Rabbanan. So you see that that the Sar Adam is Mutter. Just if it's a mace, then it's Mace Yisala Rasa Bana. But if it's Mace Yakum is Mutter Bana, so it's Mutter Bachila as well.
Well, it would also sound like, according to the Rambam, that there would be some kind of missing out of some kind of
mitzvah aseh, any time that you eat, you don't have meat. Because he's saying that the vegetables and vegetables don't fit in those categories either. So
probably means an iser aseh, it's not a mitzvah aseh. It's an iser aseh to eat flesh that doesn't conform to any of these. But it's not a mitzvah aseh. A guy wants to be a vegetarian.
Thing is like eating a giraffe, for example, that it's not listed in one of the seven animals, but it has a listed name.
No, that has Malagir Mafis Parsa. Fine. It has Malagir Mafis Parsa's Mutta. Why should it be also?
Because it's not one of those seven. It's not one of the seven.
There's probably many more than. There are a lot of animals that are not
listed.
No, the Rambam says you're not allowed to eat any other flesh other than these rules and regulations. But the giraffe fits in with the rules and regulations. Has Malagir Mafis Parsa? Why should that be an Issa? But Adam doesn't have Malagir Mafis Parsa, but it doesn't fit into the whole story. Adam is completely different. It's not a dog, and it's not an oaf, and it's not a behemoth b'chai. It's a different thing. So the Rambam holds that that's an Issa Rasei. It's not a mitzvah Sasei to have meat once a day, every day. The Rambam writes, Kol Sipa Tohara Tochelu. It's a mitzvah Sasei. What do you mean? So it's a mitzvah to have chicken once a day, every day. It's a mitzvah deraisa. No. It's an Issa Rasei Alfi Pashtus. If you eat chicken, you shouldn't be an oiftomer. It has to be an oiftomer. But if you want to be a vegetarian, so there's no, you're not in violation of any mitzvah. So the Nitziv claims in the Shurim and the Merei Mesoda, he claims that there are two ways to read the original Gemara. Doesn't mean from his forefathers of the Jewish people who went into Golas Babel, Rashi learned, or does it mean Kalochem Ibsar Avoysov of the Mesei Mabel? So the way we have the reading, the Gemara doesn't get to that discussion that all the Mesei Mabel landed up in Bavel until the second memory. What's that, this in Bavel? So you shouldn't be allowed to eat offer anywhere in the world. The answer is no, all the Mesei Mabel landed up in Bavel. So if you have the way we have the members presented, so the first memory has nothing to do with the Mesei Mabel. But other gears has happened, I think Dan Yankiv has it, that the statements of the everything landing in Babel precede the first statement. So that would perhaps lead one to learn that Mipsar Abaisib does mean from his forefathers, the Jews who were buried in Babel, like Rashi learned, but rather from our ancestors, the non-Jewish ancestors. So then the Gemara only makes sense if you hold like the Rambam. If Meisei Akum Amuta Bano, so what's the problem? That means, but it's also Bachila. Meisei Akum, if you hold like the Rambam, there's an Iser Esei. So the first Madama says, you're eating a dead body, so it's cannibalism. It's an Isan. The second Madama says, yeah, forget about the cannibalism, the Skratzim are Muslim. He's eating behemoth man. Freg the Gemara Akasha. Now they quote the member. V'yesham kilecho, Skratzim are Muslim. V'havada yismachu, ye yismachu. What's the Kasha? So normally, the Netziv has a comment over here. And then Merai Mesan. Says normally there is a din that macholos asurais only, let's say, nevele or pork or trefa, any non-kosher food, only retains its sisur as long as the food is royal achilas adam. Once it becomes nifsam achilas adam, then the food becomes mutter. The one and only case where you need nifsam achilas akelev is chomis b'pesach. The Gemara says, and that's a big discussion in the Rishonim. Why should that be different? But basically, the rule is in Kol HaTerukula, once the Macholos HaSuris becomes Nifsal Me'achilos Adam, then it becomes Mutta. That's based on the Gemara. We just discussed this, or that was a different shift? That's Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah quotes a Pasuk in Dvorim Perik Yudalad. So the Gemara quotes the Tanoim who darshan from the Pasuk. Nevela haruya la ger krui nevela. The ger who is allowed to eat the nevela is not a non-Jew who converted to Judaism. It refers to a ger toshav, not a ger tzedek. A ger tzedek is what we call a ger, a convert. And ger toshav is a nochri who accepted upon himself not to violate the sheva mitzvahs v'nina. He's allowed to eat non-kosher food. There's no problem. Just not allowed to violate the sheva mitzvahs v'nina. So the Torah says, if you have a nevela, give it to the goy. Give it to the ger ha-sheva sherechet t'pnei l'bachol. It's a mitzvah l'achiyosom. He's probably poor, nobody gives him a job because he's a little too frum, because he observes all the Shev, he accepts it upon himself, and he observes the Shev mitzvah enough to give him a break and give him some nevela food to eat. So the Gemara is medayik, the Tanaim are medayik, and that pasuk, this principle, this halacha that applies not only to Nevela, it applies to all macholos asuris, except for Pesach, where you need more. You need nifsim achilos hakelim. Halacha in kolat harkula is Nevela sheni ruya lager, ain't kuya Nevela. Once it's nifsim achilos adam, it's muta. That's the top line in Avodah Zarah, daf samaches amiral. So one could have learned perhaps that that's something that Tziv suggests. One could have learned perhaps that's what the Gemara means. It says, Yisham ki lechel shkot mer masim frek di Gemara akasha, vahavada yismachu ye yismachu, but the shkot mer masim disintegrated, and then nifsal miachilo sodom. So how can you say ki lechel shkot mer masim? The din is that if it's nifsal miachilo sodom, it should be muta. There is an interesting comment in the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch says, let's say there's a din of chumash, you're not allowed to eat bugs. Chay loim, or shkatsim ramasim. So he says, the bugs are bechalal not roi lachilo sodom. Yes, kagoy, most of the goyim wouldn't eat it. Now they have chocolate-coated bugs. Or there are grasshoppers that are supposed to be very healthy. But let's say other bugs that even the goyim wouldn't eat. Other worms are bugs that the goyim would need either. So the Minchas Chinuch points out, if you have a bug that's not roi l'achilo sodom, and the Torah says that it's forbidden, so then he thinks that it's not shaykh to say that once it becomes disintegrated, become this machilo sodom, then it turns into heter. What changed? It was never roi l'achilo sodom in the first place. So you see that the Torah made a gzeres hakosav, despite the fact that the thing is like eitz v'alma, the thing is not roi l'achilo anyway. And it's also like the Gemara has Machalikas Satanam regarding Gidan Nosha. So one is not permitted. It says, I'm sorry, not permitted to eat Gidan Nosha. So the Gemara has a Machalikas Satanam where the Gidan Nosha, the Gemara says that Gidan Nosha is borderline royal achila. Some people would eat it, and most people would not eat it. So that's a shot. There are certain cuts of meat also that some people would eat, and most people would not enjoy eating. So just because most people don't enjoy that meat, it's not called basar, it's not called Machalodim, it is Machalodim. But the Gid Hanasha, the Gemara says, there are many people who would not enjoy eating Gid Hanasha. So it's a borderline Michael. So there's a Machleke Satanaim, is a Dinuke Oichel, is a Dinuke Basar or not. So we happen to Paskin, Ein Begidin B'nai Satam. We Paskin, the Gid Hanasha is not considered Oichel. And there's no Din of Tam Kikir on Gid Hanasha. Because it's not really Macholos Asuris. The Gemara has an expression. Eitu, Bahatoi Ras Rasim. The Gemara says it's some kind of a substance. We wouldn't call it food. You can't call the food, it's not really royal achila. Eitzu. But the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it. But there is no din of tam kikr. Tam kikr only applies if the thing is macholos asur, it has to be food. If it's not food, so if you don't get to first base, so you can't continue. If the thing is not food, so how can you talk about tam kikr, that it should also have been a sinas tam? And the other Tana disagrees, and he thinks, no, they're borderline. He says, Giranosh is borderline. He thinks it's on this side of the border, not on the other side of the border. So the other Tana, some achlekes of Shimon and Chachamim in Chulin. So the other Tana thinks no, that Giran Ashe is edible, and it's called Oichel, and therefore it's called Basar. So and there is a din of Tam Kikir, and it does answer because it's from the category. It belongs in the category Macholos Asuris. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch suggests. If you have Shkotzim or Masim that to begin with are not Roy Lachilo Sodom, so what's Shach to say that if it's going to disintegrate, it's going to be Mutter? Going to disintegrate, it's going to be mutter. How can it be mutter? What do you mean? Nifsim achilos sodom? It wasn't right achilos sodom to begin with. And it was still also the Torah prohibits it. So what gets better? Why does it become more mutter if it disintegrates and it's nifsim achilos sodom? It was nifsal from day number one and it's still forbidden. Yes, so then how do you read the Gemara over here? The Gemara asked Akasha, Havada yismachu ye yismachu. So the Netziv says he would have learned Pashup Shad. It's nifsal me'achilo sodom, so it's muta. So what are you worried about? The Gemara says there, it's muta. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, that line that we just read, nifsal me'achilo sodom is muta. So he says, Rashi on the Gemara here does not learn like that. Rashi writes, shkotzim ramasim vadei yismachu yismachu v'lo nasu ofor. So the Gemara was asking a different kasha, not the way that it seems suggested pshat, it's nifsim achilos sodom, so it's muta. The Gemara was asking a different kasha. How can you tell me that you're not allowed to eat sand? Not allowed to eat offer from Bavel. Kol lo'echa offer mi Bavel ki lo'echa shkatzim ramotzim. What do you mean? Offer? If it would have been shkatzim ramotzim, they would have disintegrated, and they would look like black things, or they would look like disintegrated bugs. It wouldn't convert to become sand. The fact that I'm eating sand is a clear indication that it's not didn't originally start off as shkatzim and mussim. That's how Rashi writes. Ismachu yismach v'lo nasu ofer, didn't turn into sand, and I'm eating sand. So how can you tell me that it's aser because it's I'm eating shkatzim and mussim? So the two pshatim on the line ki loichel mibsara voisov, depending on the girsa, which member comes first. But it means ki loichel mibsara voisov from a Jewish body, and the issue is that a meisa Yisrael arosa bahano. Or if you have the girsa that the meisa mabul, the members of the meisa mabul precede, come first, then other rishonim lan ki loichel mibsara voisov means from our ancestors, from the goyish ancestors at the time of the mabul. So that mikra adin, that's mutabano. So you have to assume the Gemara means that it's also bachilo. Gemara means that it's also bachilo. That's according to the Rambam, that it's also bachilo. And then you have the two interpretations over here. And the Gemara asks the kashra is machuye, who avada is machuye is machu. So the Netziv says he would have learned that like Rashi. Avada is machuye is machu means nifsal meachilo sodom, and it's mutar. Sure. What's the problem? But perhaps Rashi understood like that minchas chinuch, that Nifs and Achilas Sodom doesn't apply to many Shkatzim or Masim, because to begin with it was never right Achilas Sodom. So how can it become Muta when it becomes Nifs? It was Nifs from day number one. So the Gemara of Kasha was a different Kasha. How can you say that eating sand can possibly be a Hashash of eating Shkatzim or Masim? It would never convert into sand. It didn't become Chol. It looked like disintegrated bugs. And for the Gemara, no, we don't really mean that it's Kilo Echol Shkatzim or Masim. Kaven the Malko, since eating the Adoma is unhealthy, goes Rebbe Rabbanu. What's unhealthy? So the Gemara says the guy ate the sand, and he swallowed a pit, and he grew a tree, and he got killed in his heart. So since the Gemara says, since it's unhealthy, so the Chachamim declared, when the rabbis tell us we shouldn't do something because it's unhealthy, we shouldn't eat fattening foods, because you get overweight, you're going to die. And they tell us, you're not allowed to smoke, so we don't listen to them. We know better. We have such a desire. But I tell something is us, something is trace. Something is trace. So we're going to be more medactic about that. So here they said, you're not allowed to eat sin. So for years they must have been hacking, you're not allowed to eat sin because it's unhealthy. Malki. And the people weren't listening to them. Then they said, you're not allowed to eat sin, it's trace, because it has dead bugs in it. Okay? So then the people listened to them, they stopped eating the sin. But really, the reason why they asked the sin is not so much because it's trace. The real reason why it's asked is because it's unhealthy. And to get more people to listen, so they said kilo echol shkatzim mimasim. That's not the real reason. That what? Okay, and then it's rejected.
Yeah.
That's probably by mice, by achbar. He achbar people eat because it has flesh, but he's talking about these little bugs that have no substance to them. They're just the bugs that run around, they're skinny. So he thinks that there everyone will agree to run. Okay, so the Gemara was discussing before Big Day Shabbos on Amud Aleph. The Gemara speaks about kovid v'chibarato shalayhei malbush chol shabbos kemalbush chol shalbo, because Rabbi Yochanan kore the marim v'chabdusa. That Rabbi Yochanan used to refer to his clothing as covered, because it gives a person human dignity. The person feels better about himself when he wears nice clothing. So the Gemara continues on the topic of Big Day Shabbos, that it says in Megillas Ruos, in the story of Ruos, that her mother-in-law Naomi told her that this man Boaz is a relative, and we're going to try to make her shidduch. She tells her daughter-in-law to take a shower, and she should shmir on oil, the samtzim losaych alaych, and she should put on some clothing. So the question is, of course she's going to wear clothing. What, she's going to walk naked in the street? So it must be, Amrab loza, eilu begodim shal shabbos, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. What does the mother-in-law have to tell her? The samtzim losaych alaych, make sure you put on a dress. What's the havanah? She's going to walk without a dress. No, I mean special dress. When you go out on a date, so she should wear the big day shabbos, that he should fall for her. So then the Gemara has another comment. Ten lechacham v'yech kamod. The chacham is daylach kima bermizi. Tell him a little bit. You don't have to spell out every step of the way. Tell him a little bit, and he'll figure out all the details on his own. So the Gemara refers. The Gemara says that pasuk refers to two biblical figures: the Rusa Malvi or Shmuel Haramasi. It refers to many people. But in Tanakh, it refers to two people specifically, that the story, the stories are recorded in Tanakh. They were given instructions to do A, B, C, D, and they did it differently because they used their brains. And if you're going to do an order, A, B, C, D, it's not going to work. So they changed. They didn't follow the instructions. And they were commended because of they're not following the instructions. It made better sense. It made better sense the way they did it. The Gemara says, Rus Amavi of Shmuel HaRamasi. Rus Amavi, what does she do? The Ilan Ami Kamra Lo Hamadun Lo told the Rachatz Vesach Samsim Sai Halafi around the Goren. You should put on the fancy clothing, and then you should go down to the Goren, where Boaz is going to be sleeping overnight. And that's not what she did. Vila Bididoksi, but Teret HaGoren, she first went to the Goren wearing normal clothing, plain clothing, not fancily dressed up. Vahadar, and afterwards, Vatat Kahal Shatzi Batar HaMoisa. Afterwards, why? She was afraid she would be all dressed up. Rashi says, Shaloyiv Kushabok Shim Kushetas Vyom Razonahi. If she's going to walk around with a fancy big day Shabbos in the middle of the night, so the people will think, the people in the village will think that she must be a Zona. So that's why she walked around originally with a suitcase, with a fancy dress in it, and a plain dress on. And then when she went to the Gorin, then she put on the fancy dress. And the same thing, Shmuel also didn't follow the instructions that Eli had given him. Shmuel was a little boy, and he heard the voice of Hashem calling him, Shmuel, Shmuel. So he woke up in the middle of the night, and he asked Eli, what's going on? So Eli said that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling you. So the next time you hear Shmuel, Shmuel, so you should say, he tells him, Shchab, go back to sleep. Yom Yikra Elecho, if you hear again the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yamarta Daber Hashem, so say, Hashem, speak to me, Kishamei Abdecha, I'm prepared to listen to what you want to tell me. But that's not what he did, because he wasn't so convinced 100%. The little boy Shmuel was not so convinced 100% that it was really the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's not going to say, Daber Hashem ki shamei avdecha. It doesn't say that he said like that. He said, Vayov Hashem. Hashem appeared, Vayisiyatzei. Vayikur kepam bepam Shmuel. Vayom Shmuel, Daber. He didn't say, Daber Hashem ki shamei. He said, Daber ki shamei avdecha. Your Rebbe is listening. A little bit, he said, Kishamei Avdecha. Maybe it's his uncle, maybe it's a stranger there. So he risked it to say Shamei Avdecha. But he didn't say Daber Hashem because he was afraid that maybe Eli was wrong. Maybe it wasn't. So these two instances, they're commended. You don't have to always follow instruction. When there's a din in the Torah and it says you got to do A, B, C, D in this order, so you got to do in that order, even though you think you can improve it by doing it in a different order. You got to do the order that the Rabban Shalom says. But if a human being here, Eli is giving instructions, and Naomi is giving instructions, so human beings are not geniuses, not everybody. So you can improve on the instructions that they gave you. So they're commended for the fact that they improvised on their own. Then the pasuk speaks about Rus HaMoaviyah going to the field. Vatelach Vatova Vatalake Basode. So the pasuk shot this thing, says Vatelach, she went to the field, Vatova, she went back home. Then Matalakit Basada. So how do you beat Pshat? She went to the field, then she went back home, and then she went again, Matalakit Basada. So the quote from the Vilna Gaon that he thought Pasha Pshat was like this. The other day I was home, I think Thursday I was home for lunch. I had an hour break in the middle, an hour or two. So the Con Edison man came. So what? I live in an apartment building, so there's six floors. So he goes to the sixth floor, and he goes around to all, he has to read the meter. He goes to all the apartments, then he goes down to the fifth floor, he reads all the meters, then he goes down to the fourth floor, he goes down. He doesn't go first to the first floor and then go climb up to the second floor or even take the elevator to the second floor. Why should he do that? Then he's gonna end off on the sixth floor, then he has to go home from the sixth floor. So first he goes to the sixth floor, and then he goes down to the fifth, to the fourth, he goes to the first, then he walks up, he goes home. So the only going says that's the push up shot over here. Batelach Batavoy means, let's say this is the field. The entrance to the field is over here. So she went all the way to the end of the field, and then she started to look for shikha pe, whatever matnasanim they were. And then she was schlepping everything, and she was picking up as she went back to the entrance. On her way home, she kept on picking up more. She didn't pick up the matnasanim as she was walking into the field. She's going to carry, then schlep more, then she has to schlep everything all the way back. So first she walked empty-handed to the end of the field. And then on her way back home, she was picking up all the matnasani. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that he thinks that that's the pashup shot. Why it says vatelach vatovoy, vatalaket vasoda. It doesn't mean that she went to the field and she went back home, and then she went again to the field. It just means she went to the end of the field and then Batova on her way back home Batalakit Basur. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, translating the pasuk simply Kipshuto. She went to the field, she went back home. She went to the field. So what did she do that for? So the Gemara says there were different fields. And she didn't have, and farmers, people who work on farms are known to be Pashita people. They're not such tznuim. They're not necessarily so able, not so intelligent. So she went to one field and she didn't like the workers there, so she would go back home. She went to a different field. All the fields belonged to this guy Boaz and the different workers in a different field. So she only went to those fields where there were tznuim working there, where there were anoshim muhugan, where there weren't anoshim muhugan, so she went back home. So that's what the meaning is, vatelach vatofan. She went to a field and she went back home. She went to another field, then matalakit vatsar. She decided she's not going to take the matan sanim for some of the fields where the people were lower class individuals. Even though she needed the tzedakah, she needed money. She didn't want to go to the pshutim. Who is this girl? So the Gemara asked, he was a married man. He had married children. What's going on over here? Was he asking who? What did he care who the girl is? So the answer is, oh, he saw the girl was very observant. She was very medactic. She only took that which had the din of leket. It's shnei shibolim. But if you have three shibolim, she wouldn't take it. And most of the danim didn't know the dinim. They just took... they just took whatever seemed to be laying around. So he asked, who is this girl that she's so learned? Or the Masnita Tana, and the Brice said there's a different version of why he asked the question. What prompted Boaz to ask the question? The Ratznias Robo. The Shikha, Rashi explains, the Shikha Bekoma, and the Shikha Ba'imorim. Sometimes the Shikha, when the farmer forgot to harvest some of the tfuah. So that's going to be standing up. So that you, the Oni, can collect that while he's in a standing position. And then there are bundles. After they harvested everything, they made it into bundles. So sometimes the workers drop the bundles on the ground. So the shikho, that's shikhas oimorim. So that, a normal person would lean over. So for a woman to lean over is not so tzniyazik. So she would like curtsy. She would lean down in such a way that her dress would be covering her whole body. And she wouldn't be in violation of tzniyazik. So he was taken by that. So that's why Boaz asked, who is this girl? She doesn't do like all the other anim. I don't know. It's not permissible. The histakil means to stare at the women, to look for a long time, just to look briefly to see what's going on. He looks at his field and he sees that there's one girl who's doing differently from everybody else. So that, to look a little bit is okay. He's looking at his field, he doesn't have to close his eyes because there are women. So that caught his attention right away, that was different from the others. Okay, they usually, I don't know how common it was. He was an old man also. He was very old, and she was apparently very young. That's why Naomi was trying to convince the two daughters-in-law that they shouldn't come back with her. They're very young, and they can have a whole productive life. Go marry someone else. Why do they have to come back to her there? So she married this old guy. She married Boaz. There's a big difference in age. Could also be. In Yiddish folklore, they asked the kasha, Rashi and Chumash asked, the Dina Hechan Hoysa, it says, when Yaakov is coming back to Eretz Yisrael, it says, the Sachad Asa Yolodov, and Binyamin wasn't born yet. So Rashi asked the kasha, Rashi quotes the Medrash, Vedina Hechan Hoysa, where was Dina? So Rashi answers in the Medrash that he put him in a box and he nailed up the box and he didn't want Esav to see, and then it turned out that it didn't help. Later on, she was taken by Shechem ben Hamor. So in Yiddish, they asked the kasha, the chidak v'shal Rashi, v'shal v'noshim, why is Rashi asking, where was Dina? There it is, that Boaz was a man, but Rashi was a woman. So how do you know Rashi is a woman? Because in Yiddish, you say der if it's masculine, and you say di if it's feminine. So when you say pshat and Rashi, what's a pshat and di Rashi? Instead of saying der Rashi, people say di Rashi. So you see, it's all right that Rashi was a woman. Rashi is a lot of ask on the women. Okay. It's a joke. Anyway, but that's it. It's based on this Gemara. The Gemara says that the Chidak Shalba is Lishal Ben Asher. The Rashi is just quoting a Medrash. All the Rashi in the Chumash is just quoting a Medrash. He's not saying anything original. So again, Rav Loza said he saw that she knew how to observe the halacha. She wouldn't take three Shibolim because the Mishnah says that it's not leket. And the Braisa says, no. He saw the Vartzniyas Rabba, Omdus Miyuma, Noflus Miyushav. She only took the Shikha in a standing position if she could have done the Omdos, right? If it's Shikhas HaKoma, if they forgot to harvest it, Rashi says. And the Shibolim that were on the ground, she wouldn't lean over because that would be a violation of Tzniyas. The Chosid Bakinim Narosai. He uses an expression. You can be together with my workers. So he's sort of implying Devek, that he's also going to be Mizdabek with her. So the Gemara asks, that's not a proper lashon to use. He's not married to this woman. Chidakr shalboy is lidavikim anoshim. What kind of a lashon is that? And for the Gemara, Amar Blas, Kivin Nechaza, Vatisha Kor Palachamoso, when Naomi was trying to convince the two daughters-in-law that they should forget about coming back with her, go marry someone here in Moab, in Eretz Moab. So Orpah kissed her goodbye. That was a kiss of goodbye. Beruz Dovkabo. So the Tanakh uses that expression, Dovkabo. So since he's Boaz saw, the pasuk in Tanakh wasn't written yet, but he understood that Ruth Dovkabo, she was Mizdabek with Naomi. He felt sorry, lead bookie, but I'm allowed to use this expression of the chosid bakinim naorosai. You can use such an expression to be mekarif her. It's not a hiskarvus of between a man and a woman. It's a hiskarvus. He's mekarif giyoris. She was a big tzaddikus giyoris. But yamal abayz leisachol goshi halom. Why does he use such an expression, goshi halom? Amar ablos the remez ramos losid malchus betavad losis nemech tuchsiv. Bei Halom, in connection with Malchus Beis David, that expression appears, as it says in Shmuel Beis, Vayovai HaMelech David Vayeshiv Lifnei Hashem, when he was appointed king, Vayomer Mi Anochi Hashem Elokim, Mi Beisi Ki Havi Asani, Ad Halom, you have brought me so far to become the king, Ad Halom. So David HaMelech used that expression, Ad Halom, regarding Malchus, so that's the expression that Boaz uses also, he was Meramis to her, Goshi Halom, let's make a shidach, and we'll have a descendant who will be David HaMelech, who'll become the Melech. What do you mean? That's what he really had in mind. That's what Boaz had in mind. So Rashi writes, no, Ruach HaKodesh Nizruka Bo. It wasn't his choice of words. It was Men HaShamayim that caused that he should use that expression, Goshi Halom, that Men HaShamayim, that was the Kavanah. He didn't have this, consciously he didn't have this in mind. He didn't think he's going to marry her. He didn't think they're going to have a descendant. It's going to be from the Malchus Beis David, but it was Min HaShemayim that it turned out like that. But the Baal Pitech Bachomets, why do they have the practice to dip the bread into vinegar? So the Gemara said, because on a hot day, vinegar is healthy. Fine. Kan Shechomets Yofal HaSheriff. Sheriff is a hot day. Shema Bach, many of my Remes Ramas are also being lost. Mech Shemais of Koshin Chomets. Also, he didn't know this. He didn't have a mind. Min HaShemayim, the Omer Rames, they were dipping the bread in Chomets because they had a descendant, David HaMelech, that was wonderful, Shlomo HaMelech, that was marvelous, and then they had, unfortunately, a descendant, Menashe. So Menashe was bitter, like Chometz. Menashe was an Ovid Ovid Zohar, so that was terrible. Vateishev mitzad ha-kotzrim. When they were sitting, so first Boaz was sitting, then all of the workers were sitting, and she was sitting all the way on the side. So why is Menashe mine? Why did it turn out like that? They're going to be married later on. So the husband is over here, the wife is over there, then you have 100 workers separating in between, so it's a remez that even though they're going to get married, but there's going to be a big, and they're going to have this wonderful lineage, the descendants of theirs are going to turn out to be the Malchut Beis David, but there's going to be a major split within the Malchut Beis David. It's going to be big machlokes. So that was a remez, Rama's law. Also, he didn't, not consciously, he didn't have it in mind. It was Min HaShamayim, Osid Ben, or what was the remez over here? Osid, Sasi, the Malchut Beis David, Shetis Chalek. The Malchus is going to be split. Then by Yisbat Lakala Vatercha Vatizba Vatoysar, he gave her food to eat, and he gave her so much food that she was stuffed, and then there was leftover. So she took the leftover food home. So this was a remez for all of their descendants, that there's going to be so much Ashiris, So much Ashiris and the Malchus Beis Dov is going to be unbelievable. So what are the three expressions? Vatechal, Vatizba, Vatoisa. So the first suggestion is Amar Ablozar. It's a remez for the Ashiris of Vatechal, Vimeidol, Vatizba, Vimeishlum, Vatoisa, Vimechizkio. There was Ashiris on Ashir. Another version has Vatechal refers to Dov and Shlomo because they were together. Vatizba, Vimechizkio, Vatoisa, Vimei Rebbe. The Rebbe was also a descendant of the Malchus Beis Dov from the Nekevis. That's what Tosis quotes in Sanhedrin, in the beginning of Sanhedrin, that Rebbe was a descendant from Hillel. Hillel was from the Nekevis, from the daughters of Malchus Beis David, not from the sons. Tosis b'mei Rebbe, the Amamar. How do you know that Rebbe was wealthy? He said, Dovid Shlomo and Chizkiya, it says in Tanakh, they were very wealthy. How do you know that Rebbe was very wealthy? So the Gemara says, Amamar, we have a tradition that the one in charge of the cowboy, in charge of the stables, of Rebbe was wealthier than the Persian king. Ahurire, the Rebbe, the one in charge of the horse stables, Aviater was wealthier than Mishvar Malko. Shvar Malko was the king of Persia at that time. Masnita Tana, there's a totally different version. The fact that Boaz was Mekarev Rus, and he married her, led up to all the Imos HaMashiach and all the wonderful things. Okay. The Adi Gemara has weiter discussion about Begodim. But Tachas, we said before, the Rabbi Yochanan Koylin Mane Mechabdusa, Rabbi Yochanan used to refer to his clothing as covered, and that's why he interpreted the Chibarato, the Pasuk in Yeshaya chapter Nunches, the Chibarato, Shaloyehe Malbushcho Shashabiske Malbushcho Sholcho, because he thought that the word covered in Tanakh sometimes has the meaning of clothing. So Rabbi Yochanan interprets this pasuk also like that. It says that Sancheirif came with tremendous armies, with chayolas surrounding Yerushalayim, and then a miracle occurred and they all dropped dead. So they were all burnt to death. So exactly how did they burn? So it says, V'tachas kevodo yokad yikod ki kodesh. How do you translate the words? Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, there are three interpretations. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tachas kivod de velo kvod de mamash. Rabbi Yochanan tamid amar. Rabbi Yochanan kar le mani mechabdus. Rabbi Yochanan, in his personal speech, used to refer to his clothing as mechabdusa. And he felt that that's a biblical expression, like mechibadatoi refers to clothing, big day Shabbos. So he thought, v'tachas kivod under the clothing, the soldiers were wearing uniforms. So v'tachas kivod of each and every soldier, yokad yikod ki kodesh. There was a fire, and the whole body of the soldiers was burnt, and the begodim remained. Tachas means underneath. Rashi writes, Tachas means underneath. Rashi explains, Rabbi Yochanan Mashmalei Tachas Kvoda Tachas Raglov. Kmo Tachas Raglov. Tachtis, below. And Kvoda is begodov. So under the clothing, so they had these thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of uniforms were all over, and the bodies were all scorched. All the bodies of the soldiers were burnt, and the uniforms remained. Tachas kivod, the yokad, yikod, ki kodesh. That's Rabbi Yochanan interprets. Rabbi Lozer was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, so he didn't go for this. He learned the dinim of Rabbi Yochanan, but he didn't agree with the terminology. So he didn't think that that's a biblical usage of a term to refer to clothing as kvod. He knew his Rebbe spoke like that. Rabbi Yochanan used to refer to his clothing as mechabdusa. But Rabbi Lozer thought that can't fit into a pasuk in Tanakh. So he says, he thought kivoda means the human body. So how do you translate tachas kivodo? So he could have said, tachas kivodo was below the body, the soul. It's hidden below the body. So you can say that there was a fire that burnt the soul, and the body was intact, but he doesn't think that that's true. He heard from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, that the body was burnt. The bodies of all these hundreds of thousands of soldiers of Sancheirif who put the siege around Yerushalayim, the bodies were burnt, only the clothing was around. So how do you translate tachas kivodo? So he understands bimkom, like Rashi says, shor tachas ashor, shalim shalim shor tachas ashor. What do you mean tachas ashor? Ashor below the other shore, here, tachas hashulchan. Here's the shulchan, tachas hashulchan below. So Rabbi Yochanan interprets tachas kvodo under the covered, under the begodim, the body's burnt. And Rabbi Lozer holds that kvodo refers to the body. That's not a biblical expression to refer to clothing as kvodo. So he can't say, and he believes that the bodies were destroyed. He can't say only the soul was burnt. He thinks the body is birdmark. So instead of translating tachas under, below, he says instead of a body, there was a fire that the whole body turned into ashes. Instead of the hundreds of thousands of bodies of the soldiers, the bodies were totally scorched and they turned into ashes. And there were only clothing left, there were only the uniforms left. That's how Rashi writes. Kvodam amishi soreif, the body was burnt, the tachtob, and instead of the body, hayefer, there was ashes. The tachas kvodam, instead of the body, yokad yikod kikodesh, there were ashes left. And the third opinion puts together a combination. Oshmo banachmeni omar, tachas kvodam, kisreif has been yar, malahan seif is jambu gufkaim, atkan seif is jambu gufkaim. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Nadav Avihu died. It says Vateisiyesh Melefnei Hashem Atoichaloisam. So what does it mean that their bodies were burned? So the Gemara has a tradition in Sanhedrin know that it was only Sreifas Neshama the good kind. Their clothing was intact and the body was intact. So what was Vateisiyesh Melefnei Hashem Atoichaloisam? The Yesh ate up what? The Yesh ate up their soul. It didn't eat up. It didn't affect the body at all. So to over here, the third opinion disagrees with the first two. Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lozer at least agree to the facts. They just argue how to translate the words in the pasuk. They agree to the fact that the bodies of all the hundreds and thousands of millions, the Gemara has a whole cheshbon in the end of Sanhedrin, the last parak, how many hundreds of thousands of soldiers did they have at that time who dropped dead overnight when they were surrounding Yerushalayim, days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. So the third opinion is that the bodies were not touched at all, just the neshama, sreifas neshama v'gufkayim. So he interprets tachas under, below, like Rabbi Yechanan. But he interprets kvoda doesn't mean clothing, kvoda means the bodies. So the fire burned that part of them that was below the bodies. What's below the bodies? The soul. So only the soul was burnt and the body remained. Hapkan Shrefin Sushama, the Gufkaim. Okay, so why was this quoted? Pashup Shat? Because we're talking about kvodo. Rabbi Yechanan said in Amun Aleph that the Chibarata is an allusion to Big Day Shabbos because he feels that fits in. That's a biblical expression also. It's not just his terminology. He thought that that's a biblical usage to refer to clothing as kvodo. He interprets the pasuk here also like that. Rashi doesn't write like that. Rashi writes over here, why did they quote this? So he doesn't say my explanation. Rashi writes, I did the Arabic krob and plukte Rabbi Yechon and Blazer of Shmuel Ma'achmeini nakte leha ayhocha. We just had before a machloikis. Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeini. So now we quoted another pasuk where there's such a three-way machloikis. Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeini, and another pasuk, totally unrelated. I don't know why doesn't Rashi say pasuk pshat? That it goes back to Amud Aleph. That just like Rabbi Yechon interpreted the pasuk in Yeshaya, that this is a biblical terminology. Kvod means clothing, so he interprets a pasuk in Yeshaya. Also, that it's a biblical usage. I don't know. So Rashi doesn't say. Rashi doesn't say my pshat. I don't know. Then the Gemara quotes a third member. Amar Abacha Barab, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Minayin Lashina Begodim Anatar. Oh, this is not Shabbos. Not talking about Shabbos. We had before sources for Big Day Shabbos. So we had the Chibarato, means Malbush Choshal Shabbos should be different. And then we had Samtzim Losayich Alayich, the Pasuk in Rus. Elu Begodim Shal Shabbos. Chisal Kadait Choshgan Woka Ruma. So it must refer to special Begodim. Rashi writes Chia Ruma Hoysa. The smallest Michael's hind of the Shabbos. So there were two sources for Big Day Shabbos. One was the Pasuk in Yishai, one was the Pasuk in Rus. And this is Tom. This is not talking about Big Day Shabbos. Minayin Lashina Begodim and Atar, what Shina Begodim? That you should wear different Begodim when you do different things. When you take down the garbage, you wear one kind of clothing. And when you go to Shula and Dabana, you have to wear a different kind of Begodim. Shinema. All the things that he's doing are Avoidus, but some Avoidus are more elegant than others. So the more elegant avodas you should wear, fancier begodim. And the less elegant avodas you should wear, less fancy begodim. Lavash begodim acher. So you always have to be makbid about the begodim. Shina begodim. Not just Shabbos and Chol, Kodesh and Chol, davening and not davening. And even if both of the things are avodas Hashem, they're both karbonis. They're both karbonis, but still, this is avodas hakarbonis of haitzuas adeshin, and that's avodas hakarbonis of hakrobis karbonis. So they're different begodim should be one. Tana d'Rabbi Yishmael lim d'chtor d'Rabbi. Cheretz begodim should be shmak d'er l'rabba, yim z'gam kos l'rabba. You shouldn't wear the same begodim. Even though it's all on avodas Hashem. Then the Gemara says, Talmud Chacham has to be more makbid about his gadim than a plain person. G'day with the Talmud Chacham sheyitzi b'manolim hametuloyim lashuk. You're not allowed to wear shoes that have patches over them. Frank Markasha, but there was a prominent Amar, Abacha Machanim, he used to always wear, he was so poor, so he couldn't buy a new pair of shoes whenever the old shoes were worn out, so he used to put on patches on the old shoes. And for the Gemara, the only time it's a b'zayin ha'tor, if it's a t'lai al gabi t'lai. If it's only one patch, that's not so bad. But if you have t'lai al gabi t'lai, that's a b'zayin. So it's a b'zayin ha'tor. People are going to see the Talmud Chacham, he goes in torn shoes and torn clothing, everything schleppy, filthy, dirty, so no one's gonna want to learn Torah. Everybody will have a poor taste for Torah. So Talmud Chacham has to dress nice. What does revav mean? Rashi writes, a stain, shuman v'chelev, a grease stain on his clothing. If there's a grease stain on his clothing, it's chayv misa. Misa v'dei shemayim doesn't mean we give misa, it doesn't. Misa v'dei shemayim, why? The pasuk says, kol mesanai yo'avam, almost al tikr mesanai, ela masniyai. They cause others to hate the Torah. When they see the Talmud Chacham dressing in such a schleppy fashion, so they develop a distaste for Torah. So it says, "Kol masniyai ohavu mavis." Obviously, they want to die. They're looking to die in misa b'dei shamayim. So the pasuk implies initially that that's the punishment for a Talmud Chacham who doesn't dress properly. Rabbeinu Amar Rivad. Rabbeinu says it doesn't refer to Rivav that he has a grease stain on his clothing. Only if he has a tipa shichva zera on his clothing, that's a different story. Rabbi Noamar Revad Itmar, the member was not Revav with a base, but Revad Shech Mazer. So the Gemara says, sounds like a major machlekes. What if there's a grease stain? Is there anything wrong? That's a machlekes. And the Gemara says, no, it's not true. V'loi pligi. Ho biglima, ho bilavush. It depends. If you're talking about the coat in the shirt, so there the kpeda is even on a grease stain. You're not allowed to have a grease stain. But if you're talking about the guy's underwear, so what's wrong if a Talmud Chacham walks with underwear that has a little stain on it? No one sees what he has on his underwear anyway. But if he has a tipa shichvazah on the underwear, that's not right. Even if the people can't see it, that's a design out there. Someone may see it later on. So that he shouldn't walk around. So everybody's masking to this. Under all different circumstances, you have to figure out what constitutes a design out there. Then you have a pasuk that says, the pasuk alludes to the fact that Shai Navi was walking barefoot and naked. No, barefoot, I can understand. Naked. Shai Navi was walking around naked. I'm a sugar. Mar says, no, it doesn't mean like that. Orem means he wasn't wearing rabbinical clothing. He was wearing tattered clothing, bibgodim beluim. Yochiv does mean he was walking barefoot. It means bimanolim hamutuloy. He was wearing shoes that were torn up, and they had big patches on them, and it was a bizarre. It was a disgrace. He was dressed with clothing and with shoes that were disgraceful. Tenan Hasam, there is the Mishnah Mikvah. The Mishnah talks about chatzitzas. There is a din of chatzitza if a person is tovel in a mikvah. There is a din of chatzitza if a kli, if you tovel a kli in a mikvah. There are four things that are mekabel tumah. Odem mekelim ochel mamashkin. From the four categories of things that are mekabel tumah. So there's only tefillah b'mikvah for odem mekelim. There's no tefillah b'mikvah for ochel mamashkin. And Rashi always writes that the mayim have hashoke. If you have mayim, becomes tumah. So you take the water in a bottle and you have it come in contact with the water of the mikvah, and the water in the bottle becomes tumah. That's not a din of tefillah b'mikvah. Rashi said that's a different din. That's din zriya. That's like if you have a potato that's tummy, you have an apple that's tummy, if you plant it in the ground and it takes root, then it becomes mechuba l'karka, so zriya is metaher, because whatever is mechuba l'karka is not only not mekabel tumah, not mekabel hechsher. If you rinse off the apples while they're attached, if it rains while the apples are attached to the tree, or you rinse it off while it's attached to the tree, it doesn't become hechsher l'kabel tumah. You have to detach it and then rinse it off, or be happy about the fact that it still has the water around it. Okay. So mechuba lekarka is not mekabel hechsher, it's not mekabel tuma. Let's say I rinsed the apples off and then I planted them in the ground and they took root, so it's not mekabel tuma. And even if it already was mekabel tuma and I planted it in the ground, it becomes tohar. Mechuba lekarka can't retain any tuma. The Rashi says that's the one exception to the rule, is mayim temeim, have hashoke, that's not midin tefila b'mikveh, it's a different din of zriya. So here we're talking about the other mikelim. Other mikelim have tefillin and mikveh. So the Mishnah is giving you details about chatzitza. So what's the rule? The Gemara says the min haTorah, it only constitutes a chatzitza if it's ruled by umakvit. If it's robe of the surface of the body has a chatzitza, and also the person is makvit. Either the person on his body is makvit, he would, let's say, if he were going to a wedding or public function, he would remove all of the ink and all of the paint and all the grease and all the dirt. He would wash himself off. Well, let's say he's a coal miner. So all day long, his face is all black. He works in the mines. And he has a bar mitzvah family wedding or something tonight. So he's going to take a shower. He's going to wash everything off. So if he's done, he goes to the mikveh before he washed himself off. So all the smut, all the dirt on his face will constitute a chatzitza. Let's say he has a lot of dirt on his body. And he always goes like that. The Mishnah has a sofer, always has ink on his fingers. Even when he goes to a wedding, he leaves the ink on his fingers. A butcher always has blood on his fingers sometimes, and then he doesn't even bother to wash off the blood. It's too hot, so he leaves the dam and so on. A painter always has paint on his fingers. So if it's a category of people, class of people, that they're not makbid, so then if it's a niyut, shein or makbid, then it's not a chatzit. Min haTorah tomi chatzit if it's ruba umakbid. And with the Rabbanan, they made a din, a chumrah, that even it's ruba vein makbid, or even it's niyut makbid. So here the Mishnah is talking about examples of a chatzitza, it's a miut. It's way less than 50% of the surface of the kli. Here we're talking about kelim in the end of mikvah. Less than 50% of the surface of the kli has a chatzitza. So the whole din of chatzitza hinges on whether the owner of the kli is makbid or is not makbid. So in the middle of the Mishnah, it says, if it's a beged of a Talmud Chacham, here the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Rav Yosiyah, Mishal Banoim Mitzadecha, Mishal Bur Mishnei Tzadim. 10 lines later, Mishal Banoim refers to Talmid Chacham because Talmid Chacham have to be more careful about stains on their begodim. So that's why if the Talmid Chacham has a garment that's stained, that's a miut hamakbid, because he's going to have to remove that stain. He won't be able to wear it. If it's an amoritz, the amoritz will continue to wear the begodim with the stain. That's what the Gemara quotes this Mishnah for. The Hemshech from before, that a Talmid Chacham is not allowed to go with stains on his begodim. Then the Gemara continues. So they say the word banoim in the Mishnah, v'shel banoim, mitzad echad, even if the stain is only on one side and it doesn't go through and through, because the Talmid Chacham is not going to wear a shirt inside out. If he's an Amoritz, maybe wear the shirt inside out. It doesn't bother him. But if he has a stain, the Amoritz's begodim have a stain that went through and through, so he can't wear it this way, can't wear it that way, can't wear it inside out either, because the stain goes through and through. So that would be a miut hamakbid even by an amharis, shalbur. But by banoim, shal tamina chacham, why tamina chacham referred to as banoim? Why do we refer to the tamina chacham as banoim? So the Gemara says, Eilu tamina chacham sha'oskim b'minyona shalolam kol yemehem. They keep the world going. That's how the Pasuk says, "Lo berisa yom malad l'chuk shemayim v'aslo something." It's not for the fact that there are people learning Torah all day and all night, not in the same location. When we're sleeping here in America, so there are people learning Torah in whatever's on the other side of the world. I don't know. Who's on the other side? Hawaii, Japan. Whoever's on the other side, so there are Jews over there. When they're sleeping, so we're learning Torah. So the people who learn Torah are oiskid b'binyana sholol and kol yimeihem. That's why we refer to them as banoi. That's what Rabbi Yechanan interprets in the Mishnah. Is there a different way to interpret the Mishnah? So the Gemara gives another pshat that the word banoi doesn't really refer to Talmid Chacham and Shoski b'binyan shalom, but rather they banei is the Aramaic. See, if you say oskim b'binyan shalom, binyan is a Hebrew word. They banei is an Aramaic word. Rashi quotes from the El Daf Lama Gimel. They banei is a bathhouse. So they used to have, they have now also. If you go to the Schwitz, if you go to a mikveh, you go to a bathhouse, whatever. So they have you have a bathrobe. So if you pay whatever, if you pay $10 for the use of the steam room, so they'll give you a bathrobe. So if you pay $20, so they'll give you a silken, fancy, expensive, more expensive bathrobe. So in the Bay Bani, if it's Shel Banoim, if it's a fancy, exclusive bathhouse where they charge a lot and they give you a very fancy bathrobe to wear, so So then the Mishnah says if it has a stain on one side, the guy's got to be makpid because he spent so much money to use this exclusive bathhouse. He wants a very expensive, very ritzy, very, very clean bathrobe. So they're not going to, if they give him a bathrobe that has a stain on one side, they're already makpid. He doesn't want it to have any stains at all. So that, those are the two pshatim in the Mishnah. So the Gemara quotes it because in the context of clothing. We started off about clothing on Shabbos. Clothing should be different. The Talmid Chacham has to be very makpid on his clothing. His underwear shouldn't have a revad. And his clothing on top shouldn't have even a stain on them. And then the Gemara interprets in the Mishnah Mikvoy as two pshotim. Shal banoim. Shal. The first pshat is Rabbi Yochanan pshat. It refers to Talmid Chacham. They have to be more medactic about their clothes than other people. And then the other pshat, the Gemara says, no, it goes on beibani. That's a different pshat. What's the relevance whether one is a Talmid Chacham or not a Talmid Chacham? What's the difference whether the guy has a din? Are there any halachas? You have to stand up for a Talmid Chacham. What's the din? You have to stand up for my Rebbe. Or have to stand up for one who is a bigger, have to stand up for my Rebbe, even if I know how to learn now better than my Rebbe. He taught me Aleph Beis. So he taught me in first grade, second grade, whatever. He still is considered my Rebbe, even after many years go by, and I know how to learn better than him. I remember when I was a little boy before my bar mitzvah, so I used to, my parents lived in Philadelphia, so there was no yeshiva there. So they sent me to New York and I stayed with my grandparents. I used to daven in two different shuls. So I used to daven in Rabbi Chalap's father's shul. So he was an only child, and his father sat on top of the beam, and he used to sit all by himself. And I was all by myself, because my grandfather was a shamus in the other shul, in the young Israel nearby. So a lot of times I used to sit next to Rabbi Zvulun Chalap. He was a teenager at that time. A little older than me, around 10 years older than me, so I used to sit next to him. So he used to teach me Chumash Rashi. Then when I used to daven in the young Israel, also, my grandfather was much older than me, so I didn't sit next to my grandfather. So I used to sit next to someone else. He used to teach me Pirkei Yovis, and Rabbein Yoyin, and Pirkei Yovis. So whenever I see this fellow, Joel Rosenstein, I see him, so I say, oh, Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe. So he always feels so embarrassed. He was my Rebbe. He used to teach me. That's halacha. If he ever taught you, you have to respect the person later on, Lori Lombard. He's your Rebbe. You have to, so even if you know how to learn better than him, then there's a din, you're supposed to stand up for someone who knows how to learn better than you. So you can't say, Ezehu Talmid Chacham, that you have to stand up in his presence. Ezehu Talmid Chacham, there's no objective criteria. What's a Talmid Chacham? If I learned by him at one time, at one stage in my life, he has to stand up for him, he's my Rebbe. Or if he knows how to learn better than me, I have to stand up for him. That's a Talmid Chacham. So the Gemara is not going to say, Ezehu Talmid Chacham, what's the definition of a Talmid Chacham that he gets 95s and above on Gemara Bechinas? No, that's not the correct definition. So we're giving Ezehu Talmid Chacham, but again, to which halach Ezehu Talmid Chacham? So the Gemara says, Ezehu Talmid Chacham, there is a din of Talmid Chacham, where do you have an objective standard? See, this is subjective. If I ever learned by him, he's Talmid Chacham, for me I have to stand up. Or if he knows how to learn better than me. So that both of the definitions are subjective. We're going to give here an objective standard. So where do you have a halacha that depends on an objective standard of a Talmid Chacham? It's not in relationship to me. So the Gemara says that there's a din of Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda, the din is, I found an Aveda in the street. I don't know who it belongs to. One thing I know for sure, it doesn't belong to me. I know it's not mine. So I have the Aveda. Then a guy comes and he says that it's his. Doesn't look like a crook. He doesn't look like a liar. I say, I found something. The guy says, let me see it. I showed him. He says, yeah, that's mine. I lost it. So the din should have been, the Pnei Yeshua and Ksuba's point said, din should have been that Bori B'Shem and Bori Yodiv, because it's not Lahoitzi. It's not Lahoitzi. Lahoitzi means if I'm holding on to something and I think that maybe it's mine, or I claim that it's mine. I'm holding on to something, I admit 100% it's not mine. I know it doesn't belong to me. So for sure, I'm not a mukhsak on it. So the Pnei Yeshua says, the din should have been that if you have a bari v'shem on, it's not lahotzi, so the bari is nemon. So if the guy comes and he says, that's my aveda, give me back the aveda. So I should give him back his aveda? So that's what the Pnei Yeshua asks. So the Nesiva says that it's taka correct. The din is correct. If I'm walking in the street and I'm about to pick up an aveda, I'm leaning down, I'm about to pick up the aveda, and then someone comes and says, hey, that's mine, I just dropped it. I don't know who the guy is. So the din is that Bari V'Shem Bari Yod. So I say, okay, it's yours, take it. But once, because I didn't pick up the Aveda yet, so I don't yet have the status of V'Shem Aveda. The Gemara says in the first half above the Metziah, O Metzosa, the Osir Liyodei Mashma. You're only called the Metziah HaMetziah Once you picked it up, that's because you saw it and you're about to pick it up, you're not yet labeled as the Moitzei Mitzvah. But if I already picked up the Aveda, then I'm called the Moitzei HaAveda, then I have a special din. You have to hold on to the Aveda, Adrosh Achicha Oso. What does that expression mean, Adrosh Achicha Oso? So the Gemara says what it means is, Darshei Shalo Yehei Ramai. It's a special din, you're not allowed to give him back the Aveda based on Bari Vishem or Bari Yodiv. That should have been the Aloha, Bari Vishem. But so this pasuk tells me, it says, Shezei Yaitim and Akla. That the Aloha says you have to be Darshei Shalo Yehei Ramai. So how do you do Darshehu? So you can do one of two ways. Either I ask him, give me Simon. Give me Simon to identify that this is your Aveda. So I announced that I found a pen. He says, I lost the pen. That's what I announced. I found the pen. So he says, he lost the pen. No big chiddush. If he tells me it's red ink and it's an Israeli manufactured pen, so that's a good sentence. How many pens are there? Red ink with Israeli manufactured pen, or Czechoslovakian manufactured pen. So fine. So that's a sentence I give him back. So that's one way of Darshei Shalai Hei Ramai. Then there's another way of Darshei Shalai Hei Ramai. If I know that he's a tzurfa midirabbanon, he's such a guy, he's an honest guy, he never tells a lie. He only tells a lie in those three cases that the Gemara says you're allowed to tell a lie. The Gemara says, the Yushpizo, the Puryo, what's the third one? I forgot already. Ben Sechta, yeah. There are three things that you're allowed to tell a lie, and all the other things that tzurfa midirabbanon doesn't tell a lie. So the Gemara says, if the guy's a tzurfa midirabbanon, then that's a fulfillment. Tzurfa midirabbanon doesn't tell a lie. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Tamina Chachama who always lie. So that's not what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about a Tzur from the Rabbanon, a very learned person who is very, very honest. All year long is very honest. He only tells a lie on those three areas where the Halacha allows you to tell a lie. So that's a fulfillment of the Shei Shaloi HaRamai. So then the Halacha says, Machzirin Lo Yaveda B'Tzvi Yasayin. So the Gemara says, Ezehu Tamu Chachem Shemachzirin Lo Yaveda B'Tzvi Yasayin. Which Tamu Chachem do we give back? It's going to be an objective standard of a Talmid Chacham. It's not in relationship to me, he's a Talmid Chacham because he once taught me, or because he knows I learn better than me. That's not how you decide whether you give back the Aveda. We have to have some objective standard to determine that he is a Talmid Chacham. So he has to be learned to a certain extent. He has to get 95 or above on Bechinas. Okay. And then he has to be a guy who never tells a lie. And on top of all of that, that's not enough. He has to be learned, number one. Number two, he has to be a guy. The Lo Mishani B'Dibur never tells a lie, only in the three things, the Mesich, the Beturia, the Yoshpiza. And number three has to be a guy who is Makbed on his Bigodim. So Makbed Achaluka Lohofko, that he doesn't wear his clothing upside down, he doesn't wear with the Revav Al Bigdoy. If he violates the Dinim of Kovad Abgodim, so he doesn't get, that's not the Talmid Chacham that we're talking about. He has to be a Talmid Chacham in learning, Talmid Chacham in Midas HaEmes, and he has to be a Talmid Chacham in Hanhoge. That is makbara chaluka lohofcha, not if the begodim are inside out, he's not going to wear it. He'll turn it back in the right way. And it's makbara not to wear with the revav al bigdoy. So then he has the status, that's the objective definition of a talmid chacham shemachzirin lo yaveda. So that the Gemara didn't discuss the most important question. He has to get what grade on a bchina, 95 or above in Hoshia. Okay, that's the most important question. They talked about the second and the third we know. Second, Madrega, the Lord Mishani B'Dibur never tells a lie, only the three things. Okay, that's, you don't have too many people included, eh? But it's irrelevant how much you get on the Bechina. There aren't too many people in this category anyway. It has to be very high level of learning. We're going to discuss a little bit what's called the Talmid Chacham in learning. How much learning does he have to know? And he has to be makbid not to tell a lie, and makbid the way he dresses as well. Okay. Maybe we'll stop here tomorrow. We'll run through the rest of the Gemara. Then we'll start the next sugya. Sugya Dal, go to Alvin Beis. Famous Gemara. Okay. Some of this Gemara is relevant to Halacha Lamaisa. Yeah, tomorrow.